There is more to me, Queen Eliara of Elfgard, than my elven magic. Just as there's more to Geico than saving you money, Geico also gives you 24/7 access to licensed agents online, on the phone, or on the Geico app. And while I am a mighty elf queen, I am also a mighty big fan of barbecue potato chips. Minions! More smoky mesquite!
Geico. Expect great savings and a whole lot more.
Gets a touch, but he helps out.
That is a man's jam! DeMarcus Cousins nearly brought down the backboard and rim.
You're now listening to the King's Court Podcast, presented by SackKingsNation.com.
What's going on, everybody? Welcome to the King's Court Podcast. I'm your host, Vince Miracle, and joining me today, making his King's Court debut, is Hoop Mag writer Josh Eberly. I just messed up that intro. But hey, what's going on, Josh? Good morning for me. I don't know what time it is in Canada for you.
Yeah, it's 10 o'clock for me. And driving into the office, I see Serge Ibaka's got traded. It's been a wild morning. I think this is my third podcast in the last hour. Like, it's been busy. It's happened in the NBA right now.
Well, I have to know, what's the feeling like there in We the North?
I think it's optimistic, and it should be optimistic. And I mean, it's not about, like, does this put you over Cleveland? There was no move that put you over Cleveland available. It's, did we improve our chance if the dice roll right to beat Cleveland? And it did. And I think this is probably the best possible move the Raptors could have made without getting crazy and going the Brooklyn Nets route, where they're dealing like four or five picks in the future, or sacrificing something else. And yeah, I think it's people are excited. And they should be excited. It's the best they could have done.
Yeah, and honestly, I have to ask you this, just because I woke up to all this news. And for those of you guys who don't know, we're recording this on Tuesday, February 14th. And what he's talking about, Serge Ibaka was just traded from the Orlando Magic to the Toronto Raptors for Terrence Ross and a late first-round pick in the 2017 draft. So, I mean, I have to ask you, the news came out about Kevin Love's injury and how he's going to be missing 6 weeks. Do you think that even motivated Toronto even more, like Masai Ujiri, even more to go after a guy like Serge Ibaka, who is known for his defense, although it's been questionable how good it really has been over the last couple years, but also just to go get that type of player who can guard a guy like Kevin Love, but then he's out, and now it's like, okay. I mean, I look at it and say, this could be the big three that can take down Cleveland. And Cleveland's not been having that great of – I mean, they're having a great year, but let's be honest, they're not having that year that everyone was expecting them to have coming off of that title run, especially maybe because they're LeBron's complaining about every player that he doesn't have. But do you think that this – puts them at the same level as Cleveland, or do you still think that they're missing a piece or two?
No, it doesn't put them at the same level. I mean, this wasn't, there was no equalizer. There really wasn't. I mean, Paul Millsap was a name that maybe could have had that conversation with some confidence, and DeMarcus Cousins was the name that everybody in every franchise, whether it's Portland or Toronto or Boston or whoever, was like, maybe if we get him. But it's like, DeMarcus Cousins isn't going anywhere. He's a superstar. So there was no name. I mean, Serge Ibaka was the third name down. There was no name that really put them on the, now we're eye to eye with Cleveland. But now they're not swinging, you know, opposed to being two floors down, swinging up, they're only a floor down. And I think this does make them better. It gives them a lot of options with their lineup. You know, Serge Ibaka isn't what he was defensively, but he's still better than, you know, Jonas and the shooting. And I mean, the spacing is something that is so key in the NBA today. I think it's going to be fun. I think it's going to give them some options. Do I think the Kevin Love injury played into it? Not really. I think this has probably been in the works for a few days. But yeah, convenient timing, no doubt.
Let's look at the flip side of it now. You look at over at Orlando, and honestly, I look at that team and say that team is the dumpster fire this year. That or maybe Chicago. I mean, maybe it's a back and forth between the two. But I mean, Chicago is playing better than Orlando is, so I'm going to lean it more towards Orlando. But what are they doing over there? They traded away Oladipo to get Serge Ibaka, and then they're letting Serge Ibaka go for Terrence Ross, who, you know, he's okay, but he's really a bench guy, and a first round pick that Toronto had two of them, and he goes to the latter half of it. I mean, what do you think they're doing over there?
Yeah, I don't really know what the Magic are doing. I've never really, you know, it's been 2 years now. I didn't understand the Tobias Harris move, where everybody and their dog can get a first round pick for a first player, or for their player, and Tobias Harris didn't get them a first, and then the Ibaka move for Oladipo didn't make a ton of sense to me, and this doesn't make a ton of sense to me. I like that maybe now Aaron Gordon gets to move to the four, Terrence Ross gets a chance to be in the starting lineup, hopefully at the three. Like, I think it maybe helps them fit better, and they didn't want to sign Ibaka long term, but for a team that really wanted to, you know, push themselves and try to make a run this year, they did a terrible job, and, you know, there's so many questions. There's no less questions answered than there were coming into the season. The Magic are not a fun team to talk about right now.
They're definitely not. The only thing that I think that they have going for them is the fact that they have Frank Vogel as their head coach. I mean, that's the only thing I can really see that's optimistic from that team.
See, and I want to be optimistic about that too, and I want to be... And I think there was a stretch where I thought maybe he had put it together more or less a little bit, but in the same breath, I mean, they haven't gotten better and they haven't figured it out and they're still playing with the lineups and they're still, you know, Hezonja is the guy most people are excited about and he's not even in the rotation. And I mean, there's and with the Magic. And I don't think it's on Vogel. I don't think it's on really the team. I kind of look at management. I look at Rob Hennigan, been the GM there for a few years, and kind of wonder maybe it's time to look elsewhere in that department.
Yeah, I'm on Twitter right now just trying to get some reaction on it all, and I'm following a Twitter handle called @NBAMath. I don't know if you heard of it, but they bring up a good point here that the Magic basically traded Ersan Ilyasova, Oladipo, and a first round pick for Terrence Ross and a worse first round pick 1 year later. I mean, that's true, because that Ibaka deal, to get him for only 1 year and then to trade him away for Terrence Ross and then a worse first round pick is just it's mind boggling to me. I wish that they were better, because I actually like Orlando and I like Aaron Gordon. I just don't know how good he really is. And Hezonja, I don't know how good he really is either. I could go down that whole roster of players that I don't really know how good they really are. But let's go ahead and move on to the Sacramento Kings now, Josh, because for those who don't know, listeners that are listening to the show, you don't specifically cover that one NBA team. Maybe in Toronto you have a better feel for what's going on with the Raptors, but I follow you and I've been reading your stuff, and you're more of an NBA guy. So I've been trying to get as many NBA guys, many NBA writers, here on this show, especially through the month of February with the trade deadline coming up, and to get an outside perspective on what you know, other writers think about the Sacramento Kings. Not just beat writers, just writers in general who cover the entire NBA, who get that small glimpse on their league pass. So first off, let me just ask you this. What have been your thoughts on the Sacramento Kings this year, where they sit, I believe, two games back as of today after Denver beat Golden State? So I think it's two games back to the Denver Nuggets for the 8th seed. What's been your thoughts on the Sacramento Kings this season?
Yeah, this is going to sound kind of cruel if you're a Kings fan, but thank you to the New York Knicks and the Chicago Bulls. The Sacramento Kings haven't really been the tire fire media stepchild whooping machine that they were, you know, the last couple years. Not to say that things are great or anything like that, but you know, it's not the focus this year. And I guess that's, you know, in some sense, that's a step in the right direction. You don't want to be that team that the national media is always whipping on. And I know probably for people in Sacramento, that's what it felt like a lot of last year, and maybe to some extent this year. But yeah, the Knicks and the Bulls have done a good job stepping into that role. I think for myself with the Kings, like it's always felt like they were close. Like I think for like 2 or 3 years now, like I felt they were close to be competing for this 8th seed. Like, I do think Boogie's, you know, a top 10 player in the league. There's no reason that a team around him shouldn't at least be competing for that. I mean, if you have a superstar, you should at least be in that hunt every year. But then again, you know, the other day I threw a question on Twitter, you know, who's the second most valuable King, you know, factoring in age. And, and talent and contract, and people were like, wow, I don't even know. I mean, most people said Willie Cauley-Stein, but, you know, they weren't really enigmatic about it.
That's probably the name that popped in my head first was Willie Cauley-Stein, but if you're living in the moment and there are some diehard McLemore fans, you might say Ben McLemore just because of the run he's been on. Just because they're diehard fans, but you can't even say that just because he hasn't been good until this point. I mean, we haven't seen this type of shooting from Ben McLemore since his second year with Michael Malone, and he was getting that one-on-one training with Chris Gent. You really haven't seen that. So maybe Jaeger and his staff is getting to him, but I still see him being trade bait. I can still see him being traded. I would say Collison, but he's not under contract next season. No, none of the point guards are. So honestly, you have to say Willie Cauley-Stein because he's been finally showing promise. I mean, that dunk was amazing about a week ago, and I'm not living it down on my Twitter because I follow a lot of Kings people, so I always see it. After that, I mean, maybe Garrett Temple and then maybe Kufis. I mean, I really don't know. That's such a great question. I don't know who the second best King is right now, and I don't think anybody really knows.
You probably watch a lot more Kings than I do. I would love, going into next year, it'd be cool to see how many, like, I should check off how many teams I watch, how many games of each team a year. Because, I mean, you obviously watch a lot of basketball, but it's hard to see. I've probably seen, I don't know, maybe 10 Kings games this year and then, like, bits of another 10. And the last couple of weeks, I've just caught a couple, like, whether I've been flipping or watching the game. Malachi Richardson, is that how you say his name? Malachi?
Yeah, Malachi's nice. He's nice.
He's had a really short, short leash, tight runs, but he's shown some stuff, I think, and he's got size. Like, maybe it's just because the Kings don't have the obvious second choice, and maybe I'm digging too deep. But a couple times I've been watching the last few weeks, and I thought maybe there's something to this guy. Like, let's keep an eye on this guy, kind of thing.
I would agree. I mean, a lot of the writers out here, too, feel the same exact way. Like, you look at Malachi Richardson, he has charisma. He's got that spunk when he talks about his game. His shot looks pretty, although it hasn't fully developed into NBA range quite yet, although the form is there. He's pretty aggressive, and for a guy who comes out of Syracuse, his defense isn't terrible, and I think that is a plus. So, I mean, maybe you can say Malachi Richardson is that second best King right now, or maybe even their second best growing player. I really don't know, because you still got Scalabissiere over there that people are starting to see him more in the G League. Yeah, I said the G League because the D League is not that anymore. But maybe there's something there. I really don't know. Honestly, I think and the sad part is, and it's going to get me to my second question here, is – the Kings are really trying to push to make the playoffs, it seems like. It seems that every move that they make and how they talk and how they can attack each game, although they always have to play from behind for some reason, like it's the game plan, they're trying to win games. They're trying to make that eighth seed. Before I get into my little rant that I almost always get into with other writers and stuff, because I want to know if they feel the same exact way, do you think it's a good idea for the Sacramento Kings to make the playoffs this year?
Yeah, so I don't want to ride the fence here, but I got to say I'm going to ride the fence here where, like, I think it's a good idea. This team very, very, very badly needs to make the playoffs. They need to walk away with something positive this season, not just for the fans, but for that locker room. I mean, they need to go into this offseason saying, wow, we've gone further than we've gone the last decade. Like, we've made positive strides. We do have something that we're building on here rather than, well, let's just, scrap it. That was a crap show, and we're going to keep figuring it out again for the, 10th or 11th season in a row. Like, I think it's of utter importance that they do that for morale. However, being myself, what's the difference between an 8 seed getting smacked by Golden State and a 9 seed and at least getting a chance in the lottery? Whatever. Like, I don't think it makes a ton of difference to me on the outside, being like maybe they would be better off with a lottery pick. If they maybe fall a little even further, be the 10th or 11th worst team or 9th worst team and get a little bit better chance to move up. From my perspective as the analyst, I think I'd rather have another lottery pick, especially since we can't even decide who their second best player is. But I really, really think based on everything I've read and that's come out over the last couple of years, the Sacramento Kings really, really need a win. So I think they have to make the playoffs.
Hey friends, it's Joe Borelli from the Superflight NBA podcast here. If you're looking for some NBA news that's a little off the beaten path, you might want to check out the Superflight. I have great guests from around the league to talk about all the latest NBA topics. But if you're craving some art, music, and general existential nonsense as well, I got you covered there too. Check out the Superflight podcast on iTunes or anywhere you download your podcasts. Or go to ABPN and subscribe. And thanks for tuning in. Now back to your show.
I'll say this. From a city perspective and how much the fans fought for their team to stay here, it would be a great morale booster for this franchise to finally make the playoffs after a decade-long stretch of being either mediocre or a dumpster fire, right? So that I agree with you on that point. The flip side of that is this, and I keep bringing it up all the time because I just don't see any optimistic other than the fact that they made the playoffs and it builds morale for the city. You look at this Kings roster, who is coming back next year? I mean, Ty Lawson, Darren Collison, both are under contract. You have Aaron Aflalo, who I believe is on a $1.2 million buyout, and then Anthony Tolliver is on like a $2.4 million buyout, which means that's the amount their contract is actually guaranteed, so they can buy them out heading into the offseason. Ben McLemore is a restricted free agent. Omri Caspi's done. I mean, you don't really know who's coming. So even if this team makes the playoffs, part of this team is not going to be here the following year. And on top of that, if they come outside of the top 10, which they will if they make the playoffs, their pick, they don't get to keep it. It goes to Chicago. And so they won't have a draft pick at all in 2017, which is arguably the most loaded draft in probably the last 4 years. We can say, I mean, guard-wise. And then on top of that, go ahead.
I hear that argument, but all of those guys you listed don't matter. I mean, none of those guys matter. They were never – no one was talking about any of those guys as being, like, franchise pillars of the Kings for the next 4 or 5 years. It's does DeMarcus Cousins feel good about this franchise? And does – like, everyone's saying, okay, he's going to sign – there's reports he's going to sign this massive deal. He's going to stay with Sacramento. He loves the city, blah, 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 blah. He has to say that. He absolutely has to say all that. And just because he takes that money does not mean for 1 second that he wants to stay there. You have to make your superstar feel like this is his home. This is where he wants to be for the next few years. And maybe he would rather have the lottery pick. I mean, maybe he would. But if going to the playoffs is important to Boogie, you should be boogieing for the playoffs.
Well, then let me ask you this, because then it brings me up to a really good point to where I'm okay with the Kings making the playoffs, but then you're not having a pick. You're reshaping your roster again in a free agency class that, you know, is okay, but, I mean, you really don't have the money to sign players at the top, especially with the question mark of what Rudy Gay is going to do, especially after this injury, if he's going to opt in or out of his contract or his player option, I should say. So, Josh, do you think it's a good idea for the Sacramento Kings to explore trading DeMarcus Cousins? And do you think the Kings should trade DeMarcus Cousins?
I think it's something that should be looked at. I mean, you've held on to him this long. Hopefully you sign this extension, right? I mean, keep him, don't keep him. Hopefully you have him there because he's a lot more valuable once he's there long term. But I absolutely think he's someone who, if you're the Kings, and as you said, you make the playoffs and you don't have your pick and you sign him, and what are we doing with this roster, and we don't really land anybody else, and we're doing rentals again. And you get, you know, the mega daddy offer. Boston calls and says, we're giving you what becomes, you know, the second or third pick, you know, Jaylen Brown, someone for cat fodder. And, you know, I mean, whatever it is, like whatever the mega package comes in, you got to think about it. You got to take that call at least.
Avery Bradley, Jay Crowder, the Brooklyn first. That's been my conversation starter.
Yeah, and I mean, I don't think that DeMarcus Cousins is the person that the media makes him out to be. And I think that he is a top 10 player, and I think he's like a worldly talent. But it's hard to build around a guy that's easily flustered in a situation that's constantly unstable. And to stabilize the Sacramento Kings, it might take trading him. And I think that's kind of the awkward line that they're walking right now.
So we only got a few more minutes here, Josh, and I want to ask you a few NBA questions before I let you go. But to wrap up on the Kings kind of conversation here, and then I think this is a good leeway into more NBA talk, is what would you be? What would be your over under? Actually, let's scrap that question. Let's do it better. Denver or Sacramento? Who makes the Western Conference 8th seed?
I'm gonna say Denver.
Yeah, me too.
I think Denver's kind of figured it out, and you know the Joker's looking better and better, and they're so young. Like we talk about, you know, we keep coming back to that Kings question, but like with the Denver Nuggets, you don't know who their second best player is for like the right reasons. Like Gary Harris has looked really good. Will Barton's a sixth man of the year candidate. Kenneth Reed has stepped up. Wilson Chandler's had a good year. Daniel Gallinari's been a good player. Like they have a lot of young players who are really, you know, not great but quality guys, whereas the Kings are really floating by.
I have to ask you this. What were your thoughts on that Denver Nuggets win last night against the Warriors? It was pretty, like, did you watch it at all? Did, like, Juancho Hernan Gomez just blowing up the Warriors?
I didn't flip to it till like 3 minutes left in the second, and all day I'd been like reading tweets from like Matt Moore and everyone else, like, you know, the number one Golden State Warriors are playing the number eight Nuggets with only 9 players on the roster because, you know, they had guys moving in trades or whatever. Like, everyone thought that was going the other way. Just a wild night. Crazy stat line from the Joker. Like, crazy stat line. Everybody went nuts.
Especially my fantasy team. I'm not going to lie. I was extremely happy. I have him on my fantasy roster. He's going to carry me to the finals in my third straight championship. Yeah, I'm going to throw that out there. Anyways, I got probably around 30 seconds with you left here. Top three League Pass teams you like watching?
I love watching the Clippers. I love watching the Clippers. I just think Blake and Chris Paul are both so fun to watch run an offense. I will say them. Milwaukee Bucks before Jabari Parker got hurt. Jabari Parker was one of the best in-game dunkers in the league. Obviously, the Greek Freak is special, headed to superstardom. Number three. Shoot.
The Nuggets.
Nuggets would be up there for me, but I'm going to say Wolves. I'm going to say Wolves because I'm Canadian. And, like, watching, like, Towns is obviously awesome, but watching Wiggins grow is still kind of, like, a fun thing for me.
One team that you think is going to be the most active at the trade deadline. Not necessarily they're going to make a deal, but you're going to hear their names in a lot of reports at the trade deadline.
Well, I think Toronto's done now, so we'll take them out. I think Boston. I think Boston's going to be – I don't think they're moving the Brooklyn pick, but I think Danny Ainge is going to do everything he can to try to – especially now with Toronto grabbing Ibaka. The pressure isn't on Cleveland. It's on Washington and Boston. Also, playoff race.
Last
challenge to the throne.
Last question here. Your favorite contest on Saturday night, All-Star weekend. Is it the dunk contest, three-point contest, or the skills challenge?
Yeah, see, like, for the last few years, it was a three-point contest, because I thought the dunk contest had been a steaming pile of dung for about 6-7 years. But last year, it was the dunk contest. Last year, the dunk contest was about as good as it's been since Vince Carter was jamming in, like, 2001 or 2000, whatever that was. So, yeah, I'm going to say the dunk contest now, but it could be the three-point contest. There's a three-point contest for a few years before this.
I'm going with the skilled. That's me. I'm going with the skilled. I want to see the big men take down the little guys again. I want to see DeMarcus Cousins versus Isaiah Thomas in the skill challenge. I want to see that all over again. But, all right, guys, that is our show. Josh, thank you so much for joining me here on this show, especially after all the craziness that's happened today, especially out there in Canada, where you guys are now going to be having Serge Ibaka in a Toronto Raptors uniform. Can you let the fans out there know where they can find you online and what they can be expecting from you at hoopmag.com?
Yeah, so at Josh Everly on Twitter and Facebook. I got something coming today. I got a roundtable every Tuesday for Hoop. And I'm doing a piece on the Defensive Player of the Year, not the boring predictions piece you usually get, but what goes into picking the Defensive Player of the Year, and is it a subjective award? Probably sometime late this week. Thanks for having me on.
Thank you so much. You guys can follow me on all social media platforms of @VMCenter. Be sure to bookmark SatKingsNation.com for all of your in-depth coverage of the Sacramento Kings. Subscribe to the show, leave a rating, and until next time, Sacramento Kings fans, bye-bye.
Yo, everybody get up! Everybody get up! Everybody needs to understand that I'm more than simply a hype man for this rap group, just like Geico is more than just a company that can save you money. Geico also has fast and friendly claim service, so they can help you when you need it most. And while I do love being a hype man, I also love reading for children's audiobooks. Like Little Bo Peep, she lost a sheep, and she don't know where to find them.
go.
Geico. Expect great savings and a whole lot more.